Welcome to the Mastermind Your Launch podcast, broadcasting live on Business Radio X. Your place for weekly entrepreneurial lessons from Atlanta's most inspiring technology startups. And now your host, Stephanie Diaz.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Mastermind Your Launch on Business Radio X. I'm your host, Stephanie Diaz, and we're here today broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studios at Digital Ignition in Alpharetta. And I have a very lively guest with me today, Miss Kimberly Barnes of Content Park. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, excited to dive in. You have an incredible story and exciting things that you're up to. So I want to dive into all of that. Also want to let the listeners know that, you know, you guys, if you're listening live, especially follow us on Twitter. At North Fulton BRX, you will get behind the scenes looks of, you know, what we've got going on here in studio and get some live quotes and all of that from our awesome producers here in studio too. So definitely follow us there and follow me on Instagram at Mastermind Your Launch. That's where I like to party. So if you want to follow me there, feel free. But yeah, super excited to welcome Miss Kimberly to the show. Thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
You and I met, it's been a minute since we have like connected, you know? It was around April, around the first WOW event.
Yes.
We just had our third one last week.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Saw some awesome pictures.
Just amazing. So much fun. You are up to really incredible things. Why don't you share with the listeners a little bit about yourself and about Content Park?
Absolutely. So I was born back when Apple was called Apple Macintosh and floppy disks were actually floppy.
Remember those floppy disks? Yes.
But I'm from North Carolina and I founded Content Park back in 2014 in Charlotte, North Carolina, sort of as a freelance writer. I kind of dipped my toe in that while I was working full-time at another company. It kind of skyrocketed a bit. So by that June, we had generated enough revenue for me to work full-time doing the writing with a friend of mine. And then shortly thereafter, I decided to move to Atlanta in order to really give the company some wings because I was doing some networking in Charlotte, but it just wasn't doing as much as I thought it could be. So moved to Atlanta. And been here since 2015. And we have an awesome team of 9 team members. And we are very excited about where things are right now. We're actually working with a few really big companies, a couple of sort of mid-sized businesses. One of our clients is the largest fertility clinic in the country. And they just moved to Atlanta. So they just opened up some facilities here. So that's really fun. But we're excited. There are 4 things that we do. The first being voice branding, helping organizations figure out how to articulate who they are, but then execute that voice over and over, whether it's via social media or it is on white papers or any other medium that they have. We try to figure that out for them and empower them to empower their team members. So then that way, if one person is there for 3 years and then someone comes in and they're a newbie, they'll know sort of that standard of how things should sound. So we do that through voice branding. The second thing that we do is content strategy, and that's figuring out what you should be talking about on your website to accomplish your goals. So if it's generate traffic, if it's to convert leads better, if it's to move people along your sales funnel or customer journey, will help them to articulate that. And we take sort of an SEO smart approach to that. So my background is SEO. So I was an SEO analyst for a couple of years.
I want you to talk about your SEO-ness because you have a lot of experience and credibility in that space.
Yeah. So I spent a couple of years working on accounts with Verizon, DirecTV, AT&T, sort of those big telecom.
Yeah.
And it was our job to, I guess a way to put it is when you Google right now DirecTV service or get DirecTV or something like that, you'll see the DirecTV website. But as you know, as with any business, you're not going to be the only one that pops up. Somebody's going to be first, second, third, or fourth.
Yeah.
So the way we approach this is we actually took over all of that space. So using different domains so that you can, but still having that authority. So you may see DirecTV, DirectTV.com, and then you'll see another website that is DirectTV. DirecTV. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see another one that's Get DirecTV. And so we owned all of those. So we
anything that someone could search.
Exactly. So any way that you could find it, we had domains for that. And so that's just like a very small tidbit of how we would work with these agencies and then manage their sort of demand and then close the sale for them. So that was part of doing that. But I spent a lot of time A-B testing and link building and figuring out what was working and what wasn't. Mm-hmm. To the point now where we've actually launched a few courses to help small businesses get their mind around what it means to do SEO.
Right.
And so one of the things that's interesting is that we've worked with some mid-sized businesses, some small, and we found that they may be working with an SEO agency, but they didn't feel like they were getting their money's worth. And so I wanted to be able to educate them and say, okay, these are the exactly. things that you need to look for.
Yeah.
This is sort of the basics so that when you're getting a content strategy from our team or when you're working with an SEO partner, you're able to soundly say and feel confident in saying, okay, this shouldn't this be different? Or I don't feel like I'm getting my money's worth and here's why.
Right.
Because SEO is a little bit of a... It's kind of like you're chasing your tail sometimes simply because we don't have control over the Google algorithm. Mm-hmm. And because we don't have control, we still have to play within their rules, but we don't determine when something ranks. We still have to wait for them to decide.
And it's always changing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, new updates come to the, are released to the Google algorithm, all in order to make a better user experience. So paying attention to that and looking for trends and staying on top of that information is a thing that we encourage our clients to make sure that their SEO partners mm-hmm. are doing.
Yeah.
Are you paying attention to trends? You know?
So. Yeah, I love that. So you got a lot going on. Really quick, funny story about kind of SEO and using those URLs. Mm-hmm. A good friend of mine, Michael Tobias, he's up in New York. He started an engineering firm, called it New York Engineers, and has grown quite nice. Significantly because when someone is up there and they're like, okay, well, we need an engineering firm. Okay, New York Engineers. And he has the domain newyorkengineers.com. And so we joke like that was a great move on your part.
Right.
But so what I really love about you and Content Park is, you know, you said started out as a freelancer.
Right.
I know so many freelancers that they do amazing work. They have, you know, some thought leadership just like you do. But growing a business,
right?
Like taking that freelance work, and you said you started, it was a side hustle, then right. you went full time, mm-hmm. then you started bringing on staff, and now you have a team of 9.
Yes.
You know, you've relocated to Atlanta, you're working with larger companies. Mm-hmm. I just want to say, like, I love it.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yay.
A woman who is out there and building something bigger than just herself. I love that. And so I hope that, you know, freelancers kind of come across this episode and can really hear about it. I would love to hear from you. You know, you started, did you always have this vision of a bigger company, or was it kind of just a natural progression of a next step for you?
Yeah. Well, I had a vision of something, of having a business that could eventually run on its own. You know,
yeah.
I wanted to be able to have an agency that if I came to work today, it would work. If I didn't come to work today, it would still work.
We're going to talk about what our plans are for the off time. We'll talk about that. Okay, keep going.
So yeah, I did have a vision for it. But getting there was a lot of trial and error in figuring out what was missing. Because often when you're a freelancer, you're really good at doing your craft.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I've seen with other freelancers who've asked me, you know, well, how do you make that transition? What's happening is they don't know how to run a business, which is very different than managing your own craft and possibly using something like a 17 hats to do your invoicing. And so that's sort of a really simple approach to freelancing.
Right.
But when you're moving into a business and you've got to bring in new people who are responsible for managing your accounting and managing your, doing your work, like before you were
yeah.
the author or the artist or the graphic designer, but now you've got to bring in other people who can take on that, and trusting that is a big thing.
I was about to say, it's that trust that someone else could perform that at your level.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's because it's so kind of subjective, you know, mm-hmm. how you're moving through it.
Right. And then once you've, as a freelancer, so we were delivering a certain level of quality to our clients. And so then finding people who could deliver that same type of quality so that the client didn't experience a gap in what they expected. Mm-hmm. And so figuring out what that onboarding process was for our writers, that was a thing that had to be hammered out before we could grow to 9.
And that's hard too, because whenever you are, you know, you mentioned onboarding, like that's a period of time where you might not be at your max capacity anymore, because now you've got to take time away to train someone. They're obviously not at max capacity. So what was it like heading into periods where you knew that my output, so what I was billing last month and the month before, is going to take a hit right now? How do you set yourself up for that?
So the first time it happened, I wasn't ready. And I overwhelmed myself. I stressed myself out. I was working too many hours and I went to the edge, way too close to the edge of just feeling like myself. And I knew that I couldn't do that again because working from 7 a.m. to 4 a.m. is not what I signed up for. So I had to regroup and I realized that I needed to be able to plan for expected change. And the planning actually meant that I had to look at how I was getting new clients. So it sounds like I'm talking about two different things, but not really. The pace at which I onboard clients is going to impact my need for new talent.
Right.
So if I have a system around when I bring on a new client and when we bring them on retainer, then we'll know what our expected workload is going to be.
That's so true. You can't just bring on people without knowing that you've got projects to put them on. Hello.
Exactly. Yeah.
So one goes into the other.
Right. So that meant we had to relook at how we were billing our clients. We had to look at a retainer relationship going into it as opposed to more of the a la carte that we were doing before. Mm-hmm. So now we have a bit of both. So we still have a little bit of the unexpected, but then we also have the expected. We know there are a certain number of pieces that we're going to be getting every month because these clients are on retainers. In addition to that, we start looking for writers when we don't need them. So we at least get a certain number of team members in the pipeline or potential team members.
Yeah.
And if we've got a list of 10 that we think, okay, these look like good candidates, we're ready to pull the trigger. We're like, hey, 10 people, is anybody ready to get started? And then we'll jump in and say, okay, now we can bring somebody on. So then we don't have to go through the full-on recruiting process every time we're ready to get started. So that's part of how we kind of manage that next step and going from me totally freelancing to now having several team members that are supporting what we do.
So smart. And something else that's been really smart about what you've done is this system that you have around really helping companies find their voice.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what kind of content do they need to be creating around it? So how did that idea come to you?
So content strategy has been a thing that I avoided for a really long time. And voice branding, because I wanted us to be almost a little bit of a turnkey. Like you need a piece of content, you let us know, we get it out. And it's like, we're in and out. But the clients were requesting it. They were like, well, we would give you more if we had more ideas. It's like, okay. So we need to have more ideas. Okay.
Right.
So how do we then create it and bill it? And what's the methodology behind putting it together? So as having the SEO brain that I had, I figured that it was really important that when we're building a strategy, that we're thinking about what people are looking for, the keywords that they are looking for. So it began as a keyword discovery, and it evolved into how to build topic authority. And so in doing that, what we've actually brought in is some machine learning that helps us to uncover gaps in what our clients are currently doing. So let's say they are a fertility clinic, since we talked about that before. So they're a fertility clinic, and they've discussed everything around that they can think of around IVF, and they've discussed everything around secondary infertility. What else is missing? So we'll take a look at all of their competitors, local and national, and we'll find out what they're talking about. What are they doing well? What are they not doing well? And then we'll pull from that information insights that we can give to our clients to say, hey, these are things that your competitors are addressing that you haven't. So if you want to be authority in this space, then these are some opportunities for you to take care of, to take advantage of. That's sort of part of how we approach the strategy. There's at least 7 or 8 different steps that we go through, including some competitive research and then understanding keyword volume, but really looking at sort of the big blocks of topics that need to be addressed, and then all of what sort of falls under that, if you can visualize that.
I can think of several people that I hope are listening right now because as a content creator, and I mean, this, you don't have to be a big company. This is how a lot of solo entrepreneurs kind of get their foot in the door. They start creating content. Now it's almost like a given. You have to have a website, you have to have a blog. And I know though that they sit down and they say, what am I going to write about?
Right.
And so I love your approach. You know, what are your competitors writing about? Like, let's start there. See what you know, they've already identified. What gaps do you see that you can easily jump in? Don't just try and copycat. You know, don't look at them and say, well, they're writing on this, so I should write on this. But, you know, if you're an expert in this area, you should be able to see, okay, they missed the mark on this, that there's your entry point right there.
Right. And then finding something that may be a different opinion.
Yes.
Right. So if some organization has written an article about something and you have a different opinion, then you have an opportunity to compete with them in a different way. So if your opinion may be one that strikes a potential customer better than the one that they did.
Right. And finding your niche and your audience there. And then those keywords. A lot of people don't even have keywords on their radar, but it's like that is part of the purpose of putting out content is for searchability.
Exactly.
You know, it's not just to help build rapport with your warm audience, but your goal is to get some cold traffic stumbling upon you, and it's all through search.
Right, right. So honestly, I wouldn't consider search traffic cold traffic. I'd actually consider that hot traffic. Specifically,
I hear you.
Specifically, if think about it this way: if you owned a pizza shop, right, and someone said, "Someone search, find a pizza shop near me," it's because they're trying to eat some pizza.
True. In that moment,
exactly,
they've got it on their mind.
Exactly.
I like that. So that's the hot traffic. Okay.
Right. That's your hot traffic. Now, sometimes people are looking for information, right? And if you want to be, if you're a topic authority in a particular area, and they're asking about information, then that may be warm traffic because they're looking for a source, but
researching,
but we don't know their intent. So when you identify the user intent, there's certain phrases that have a higher probability of someone purchasing, and that intent is sort of the difference between the warm and the cold traffic. So the information type thing, that might be more of a colder traffic. But if I'm looking for something right now, like how much does X cost? I'm ready to buy it because I need to know how much it is.
Yeah.
You know, or at least I'm pricing it right now. And so that's your hot traffic.
Right. Okay. And so in that scenario, you've got hot traffic coming. Your content also has to be laid out in a way that converts them. So let's not hide the call to action. Let's not hide the sale.
Exactly.
You want them to have that information readily available and not have to search for it.
Right. Exactly.
So how you lay out that content, where the call to action is on at the top of the page, at the bottom of the page, a pop-up box, all of that.
Exactly.
You help people with.
Right.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, good. I mean, this is really good information for companies of all levels. And I mean, it sounds like Content Park is really focusing on some bigger brands at this point, but you said you have educational resources for that smaller business owner who just says, listen, I know I need to be doing something. Let me get educated on that. And where can all that information be found?
Right. So right now on our website, contentpark.co, our second to last blog is about the courses that we just launched. So those courses include an SEO intro. So that'll give you and your up to four other team members one-on-one session in person so that you can ask me any question that you have about SEO. And then we'll also take a look at how your site is currently performing. And so you'll see different levels of those SEO courses on that last blog. The pricing is also there. So you just give us your email and we'll send you back all of the pricing.
I love it. As we kind of, you know, near the end here, I mentioned that I love that you're a woman who's thinking big.
Yeah.
This was actually a focus of the conversation that we had with the featured guest, Tracy Grace, at the last WOE event. For the listeners, Tracy Grace is the CEO of Ibex Business Solutions. She is killing it. Mm-hmm. She, you know, does a lot with government contracts and recently closed almost near $10 million worth of government contracts. And she's on track to bring on, I think her employee count is going to reach near 30 by the end of this year. So again, a woman that's really building a business.
Right.
And we talked in the interview about, you know, that difference between the woman who is trying to build a business just to replace her salary and that's it, maybe take a couple of vacations a right. year, or the woman who really dreams bigger and thinks bigger.
Right.
So you are obviously of the latter. And you talked about building a business that really can run without you.
Yeah.
So I'd love for you to share some of your big dreams. Like, what are you going to do with all this free time?
Free time. I don't know if it will be free time because I'll probably start
something
new. I would love to have multiple businesses that I've launched. They're able to fly.
That empire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I look forward to. You know, when I'm 65, I'm like, how are the businesses doing?
You know? Just checking in.
Exactly the same way with kids. Like, how are the kids? Okay, great. They're awesome. You know,
so these are our babies.
Exactly.
That is for sure.
So that's what I look forward to, being able to launch a few and then watch them grow. So
absolutely. I love it. Kimberly, thank you so much for being on today,
absolutely.
For sharing all about Content Park. You guys, contentpark.co, resources for obviously companies of all sizes. And she's got a team that really knows how to bring out the voice in your content. So check them out for sure. And a woman on her way to doing big things, already doing big things. What am I saying?
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you to the listeners for tuning in. Remember that today is a great day to face forward and mastermind your launch.